So I'm going to stand because this is how I practice at home, and it might throw me off if I sit down. But I've known Connie for a long time, and once again, thanks for inviting me. And this side of the room I kind of know, and this side is new, so hopefully we'll all just get together on the same wavelength. And I am a religious science minister. It took me 7 years after I got my prac license to decide that that's what I was going to do, even though I probably knew it the whole time. And then 3 years later, so in 2007, I became a licensed minister. And I am a mother, a grandmother, a teacher, a human resources director, and the list goes on. So probably somehow we are related. I relate somehow to all of you. And that's always a good feeling, because it's nice to know that that connection that we're taught in religious science really does happen. It is always present. We're always connected to one another some way. And all we have to do is find that connection, and then generally our heart opens and spirit can lead the way to a greater understanding of each other. And if our countries could do this, if countries could have hearts that could connect and be open, how powerful that would be. How powerful. So Ernest Holmes said, before I start though, I just kind of want you to invite you to relax in your chair and hear beyond your ears that are there, see beyond your eyes, and know that there's something behind these words more than I'm speaking, and let that go wherever it needs to go for you today. So Ernest Holmes said, and we claim this in religious science, that there is one life. That life is God's life, and that life is perfect. That life is my life now. That's what we claim. And as seekers of truth, we come here in groups like this to engage and become open to that deeper understanding and that broader knowing. And each of us brings a piece with us. Each of us brings a piece, so it's important that we are willing to give and to open and to share in this community. From the reading today in Creative Mind and Success, Ernest says, we are one in mind with the whole universe. We are all eternally united in this mind with real power. It is our own fault if we do not use this after we see it. In other writings, he says it's necessary for each one of us to reason this out. This is not a teaching or a belief for the faint of heart. So, you know, when I first heard that, I was new in the belief, and Reverend Sunday, who was here a few weeks ago, was talking, and she said, once you know this, you can never go back. And I literally at that time just wanted to shrink within myself, close my ears and eyes, and run out, because I wanted a way out. I wanted that opening still to be present in case I wasn't ready for this, in case I couldn't accept it. But those words have always stayed with me. Once you hear this and you believe it and take it in, you really can't go back to another way. Now, we're always a choice, though, to re-believe something. And so I kind of say that with the reservation of, sure, you can deny this again and go back to a life if that's more satisfying for you. Chances are, according to my belief, it won't be. So you'll be here and or going further than this. Because Ernest Holmes is always open at the top and willing to say there's more, there's always more, there's always more. So just because he left the planet and left a few books behind does not mean he would stay within those books or the confines even of what he taught. So we are always invited to go beyond that even. And so I encourage you in your writings and your readings and your songs and your talkings with other people to always remain open and to see that goodness wherever you are, to go beyond. So the one thing I know, this is a pretty heavy subject of you're here and now and kind of stuck in it, and it's your responsibility, it's not for the faint of heart, that you already have an A in life. You already have the A. You can't fail, because life is just life, and it's great. In And I got this idea from Rosamund and Benjamin Zander in their book, The Art of Possibility. It's a wonderful little book, if you haven't read it, The Art of Possibility. And it talks about, they were students of, they were orchestra directors, and they were teaching students about working together and being in an orchestra and instruments and all that stuff. And they wanted to get them out of their heads and into the spirit of the music. And how could they do that with grades being so important? Because the students had to get the grades to get into the orchestras that they wanted to play in. So they were constantly not wanting to make a mistake. How did they open them up? They said, you already have an A in this class. The only thing you need to do to keep that A is to write me a letter that says, at the end of May, I received an A in this class because. And so each student wrote the letter. It was to be in the present tense, as if it was May. I received an A in this class because. And it was very telling. I'd love to read you all of their letters, but I don't have time for that today. But several weeks after the letter writing exercise, he asked the students how it felt. What was different in this class because they already had an A? And a young man from Taiwan raised his hand, and the Asian students didn't usually raise their hands because they never wanted to be wrong. You know, they always wanted to be right, and the best way to be right was not to be saying something that the teacher didn't want you to say. That was their culture. So it's very interesting that this young man raised his hand to begin with. And he said, you know, over in Taiwan, I was 68 out of 70. I come here, Mr. Zander says I'm an A. I'm an A student. Very confusing. In Taiwan, I'm 68 out of 70. Here, I'm an A student. In Taiwan, 68. Here, A. I thought about this a long time, about 3 weeks. Decided I like the A better. How he saw beyond a label that he was given. He saw beyond that he was more than a 68, that he was more than an A, and he claimed what he wanted. Now, through our life, we put labels on ourselves. I gave you some of mine this morning. I didn't give you the labels I didn't want. I gave you the ones that I wanted you to know about me. So, but we tend to label ourselves, and we label good and bad. We'll just let that be right now. But this young man was able to see beyond a label. That's all our words are. That's all we are in this human incarnation of spirit. We are spirit. And in this human incarnation, we tend to say we are this or that. We are more. We are love. We are joy. We are peace. We are all of the things that our tenets say we are. We are all of that and more. Because our finite minds cannot even comprehend what we are. We cannot define God, and every time we try, we limit God in some way. So I loved it when Jean said, I'm here just to be in the now and to be open and to have the experience. And as we do that, as we stay in this now moment, as we become willing to just experience, then we are choosing something that is greater than we are, because we're not labeling things and we're not having preconceived ideas. Reverend Kathy Hearn, Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn, who used to be the community spiritual leader of the whole organization, said, you are a human being, a member of the human race. Being wrong is a membership requirement. Admitting that you are wrong gives you extra points. So admitting that we're wrong and being willing to grow into something else can give us extra points. How good is that? Mm-hmm. This gives us permission to be more. It does not give us permission to beat up on ourselves about it. Mm-hmm. It just simply allows us to step in and be more. Because the truth is that life is sometimes messy. It seems unfair. It seems like it's wrong. there's sadness and there's disconnection that we feel. And then when we see beyond that, when we say, oh, I could be seeing something different in this, that's our opportunity. That's our opportunity to know God at a different level, to know that all of this is leading us towards something. Mm-hmm. And it is up to us to step into the possibilities or to be weighed down with something and beat ourselves up about it. So in our teaching, and in all teachings, most of the teachings that I've studied, we're charged with such things as be in the world but not of it. Be ye transformed by your thoughts. Know beyond what you're thinking now that there's something greater. So as we begin to shift and change, our whole world changes. Our whole situations change. And our thoughts are so very powerful, as was in the reading that was presented to me that you all had an opportunity to read. They are so very powerful when we change. A personal example that I will give you is one day it's hard to believe I know, being a minister, I was mad at my husband. So I don't even know what the situation was, but I was upset and wanted to be anywhere but there. And I'm at the kitchen sink doing dishes and not happy, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, this is not what I want. This really is not what I want. I want something different. And so I began to go, what I really want is to feel connected. I want to feel loved, and I want to feel a togetherness in this relationship. I want it to be different. No sooner had I shifted my thought than Sandy was behind me giving me a hug and saying he loved me. And I was like, how easy is that? How easy is that? And it happened another time when we were angry with each other and upset, and we had kind of gone to bed mad, which is against my policy. And I began doing that shifting thing also. And he immediately, you know, came over to me. He often has his back to me, but he had his back to me that time. So he shifted, and it was just so empowering to know that we have within us a chance to, at any moment, to step back and go, wait a minute, I would really like something different. Let me step into something that is more powerful than where I am right now. That makes me more comfortable. So when we do that, we begin to have a different view. And the Bible says, turn the other cheek. I never quite liked that, turning the other cheek that got slapped around. But someone explained it to me differently. And that was, when you turn the other cheek, if I'm not happy here and I turn my cheek, I'm looking at something totally different. Mm-hmm. And so I get another viewpoint. So I can look here instead of looking at what I don't like. Mm-hmm. I can find a new way. Mm-hmm. So again, there is that one life. It is God's life. It is our life. It is perfect. It's our life right now. That is what this is about. There was a little girl who was skating on the sidewalk. I don't know if any of you are I'm old enough to remember skating on the sidewalk with those skates with the key. And she's skating on the sidewalk, and she fell down, hurt her knee, skinned it really badly. And she's sitting on the sidewalk, and as we do, we pull our wounds towards us so we can hold them and heal them. And she pulled her knee up and was holding it really close and grimacing because it hurt. And a gentleman was walking by, and he said, that looks like it really hurts. And she goes, yes, it really hurts. And he said, I'm surprised you're not crying. She said, well, you know, I told myself I was not going to cry, and I am minding myself. And if we could do that, I mean, how many times do we say in our lives, I want to meditate more. I want to be more spiritual. I want to not eat the donut. I'm probably the only one who does. And somehow it seems that the donut has more power than we do. You know? Because I'm not going to eat that donut on Friday morning. But all of a sudden it is in my hand and scarfed down before I know it. So the donut fiend has taken over my body. If we could mind ourselves a little bit more and be authentic with our words, really. Mm-hmm. It's when we say something, are we really saying it or are we just kind of miming it? I think I want this, so I'm going to say the right things. But am I really engaged in it? Is it what I'm really wanting? And yes, I really would like to not eat that donut, but somewhere along the way, I haven't gotten quite that one done yet. Pastries are... So we're not supposed to beat up on ourselves there, remember? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be in a loving space with ourselves and understanding, because that's our power to move forward. If we beat up on ourselves, then we become stuck. And we can stay in a place that's not helping us move forward. So we want to bless our little egos, because they're trying to keep us safe. We want to let them know that we love the fact that they're here and trying to keep us safe, and we're able to live in this world and move in this time and space and not harm ourselves a lot. Like, we know what side of the street to drive down. We know sometimes what words we need to be saying to certain people. Thank you, ego, but don't box me in. Don't let me be boxed in with that. Let me see beyond the box that you've put me in, and let me step outside that box. There was a pearl, an oyster. There was an oyster who saw a pearl that had fallen down on a leaf in the ocean bed. And there were divers in this area constantly who were picking up oysters for the pearls. And the oyster said, if I can get that pearl and put it here on the leaf beside me, then when the diver comes, he will see the pearl and take the pearl and leave me alone. So the oyster, with great effort, got this pearl, put it on the leaf right beside him, and the diver came down and snatched up the oyster. Because the oyster divers are trained to look for
oysters.
They are not trained to look for pearls. The pearls come in the oysters. So the diver took the oyster, and which didn't have a pearl in it. And the pearl then fell again back down to the floor of the sea. And this is what we do sometimes in life. We think that we're looking for something, and we go after that, and we miss an opportunity that is right beside what we think we want. So I want you to just take a breath and remember to keep yourselves open and make your eyes bigger. Look for opportunities where you find them. Don't settle for just that one thing. The road that you're on and leading to that is very possibly just trying to get you part way here, now, where you are, so that you can engage yourself and be brilliant right where you are. So the little girl who fell down was becoming more of who she was to be by minding herself. We want to keep our eyes open to other possibilities on our journey, because the journey, the being in the now, is what it's about. And another thought that I want to leave you with is the story of Noah and the Ark reminds me of the fact that we can be washed away of old ideas and allow new things to spring forward. So the washing away, the flood came to wash away things that were no longer necessary, no longer needed, and allowed new growth to spring forward. Often in our lives, we want to hold on to things that we know that have felt safe and secure. If we would let things flow naturally through our lives and release some of those things, then we are seeing again from a different vantage point. When we go to the technology that is available in our world today, we think of computers, we now have electric guitars, we think of all kinds of technology, all kinds of in any given thing, there are new things happening, right? Mm-hmm. But specifically with computers, kind of got off track there. Mm-hmm. We are willing to reset our computers when something's wrong. We are willing to upgrade our computers to the newer technologies. So today I want you to think about upgrading your thoughts and upgrading your life. If there's something going on that you don't like, push the reset button. Push the reset button and say, I could be doing this a little differently. We can kind of wipe this slate clean and start again. This believes, this requires a belief in the fact that there really is no time sometimes, that we can actually step back or into the future and have things become a causal item here in our lives right now. So begin, when you think of technology, remember you can apply that to your own life. And there's a Sufi saying that goes like this: if you take one step towards God, God will come rushing towards you. God has never left us, really. We just kind of turn away. But if we just open and say one thing, one desire, spirit, one word, God comes rushing towards us because God wants us to know more of who we are. We just want to know more. So today I'm going to leave you with these ideas that you already have an A in life. You already have that A, so you can relax. And just like the man from Taiwan, when that moment of decision comes forth, we can choose which is ours. We're not caught up in our labels. So I read a saying the other day that said, actually, I just woke up one day and decided I didn't want to feel like that anymore or ever again. So I changed. Just like that. Just like that. And let's be mindful of the little girl who's willing to take her responsible part in life, willing to mind herself. What ideas are we really speaking and what do we really want to mind about ourselves? And let's also remember to upgrade our thoughts. Upgrade and reset our thoughts. Matthew Anderson said, there is a prayer that lives in the center of your heart. If you pray it, it will change your life. How does it begin? So let's just take a moment of prayer. And so today we take this opportunity to begin again, to know with certainty the truth of who we are, the truth that we are immortal, that we are more than this body, that we are actually spirit, residing in a human form, having these experiences, that we have come here to enjoy this experience, to expand our thoughts through this experience, whether it be judged by us as good or bad, clear or muddy, fair or not fair. It matters not. We are just simply here to experience and to learn and to be and to become. And as I know that there is only one presence, one power, one love, by whatever name we call it, I know that this connection to this power is firm. It can never be broken. It is always continuous. It is always, always, always. And I am grateful for this connection. I am grateful to know that this group is connected. And as this group disperses from this place with love and joy in their hearts, that they take this out into the world, to their respective homes and to their friends, to their workplaces, to their families. And how grateful I am to have this opportunity to share this time together, to relax and to renew and to rejoice, and just to be. So knowing that connection to God once again, knowing the gratitude that is in my heart, knowing the gratitude that has been expressed here today, I just simply put these words into that law that is unfailing, that brings forth all that we put into it. And so I invite each and every person here just to put their whole self in, the whole self. And if you feel like wiggling around in there, do that too. That wholeness. And we release into that law and say, yes, and so it is.
So it is.
Thank you. Thank you.